there's a new school of history writing around which is driving the purists and the professionals mad. It's called the counterfactual school of history. That is to say, where you take the facts of a particularly significant occasion, develop them to a certain point, and then posit that this, a very different outcome would have followed, and then you kind of track that different outcome. So, for instance, the Maori chiefs, when they gathered at Waitangi in 1840, suppose as they intensively caucused together, they decided not to sign a treaty, but instead to forge a very effective military alliance and drive the British into the sea. Or supposing the Allies in 1943, instead of embarking on that rather fruitless and long drawn out Italian campaign, had instead landed in southern France, perhaps finishing the war a year early and saving potentially millions of lives. I actually rather enjoy this counterfactual school of historical writing. And there's a possible scenario like this presented in this morning's gospel reading. Jesus and his followers have now reached Jericho, which is a day's march from Jerusalem. The tumultuous events that are about to follow in Jerusalem will begin very soon. And what we're confronted with is the last healing ministry of Mark's gospel. Now, you'll recall that what's been going on these last few weeks in the gospel readings has been a very intensive in-house education program of the immediate followers of Jesus. Apparently, they are to be retrained to take on board servanthood and cross-bearing in the day-to-day affairs that relate to their affections and their possessions. And dominating behaviour and status-seeking are just out so far as the leaders of the new community are concerned. But this education program hasn't been a great success. It's not so much a failure of intellectual understanding on the part of the disciples of Jesus as a kind of hardness of heart, limited horizons and stunted sensibilities that prevent them getting with the program and following in the way as Jesus would wish them. So it is that we come to the incident with the blind beggar Bartimaeus. It's not just his boldness in breaking through the cordon of discouragement to get to Jesus. The first detail we can note that's really interesting is that in calling Jesus Son of David, he gets it. He describes Jesus just about as accurately as a contemporary of Jesus can in terms of the theological and scriptural categories available to people then. Remember that what the contemporaries of Jesus who followed him came to understand in the end was that in meeting him, they had met the God of Israel face to face. So to call him Son of David means you're the champion that the kingship of David led us to expect. That's the first thing. Then when the actual Jesus stood still and then called him to him, and when he comes to him, Jesus puts a question to him, which is the most frequent question on his lips in the gospel. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And, you know, if we want to bring some reality to our prayer in the next week, we might want to put that question to Jesus. Let him ask that question of us and answer it with the directness and honesty we can. And when he is healed, when he receives back his sight, he's really asking Bartimaeus not just for the gift of physical sight, but he kind of receives another kind of vision. He can see Jesus for who he is, his full significance, and what is required of each person he meets. And instead of just sloping off with barely a muttered word of thanks, it says he followed him on the way. And the way is the first description of Christianity before, you know, crosses and fishes and all the rest of it. The way is the way you describe being a Christian. So this person of boldness, perception, and considerable resolution has now joined the Christian community. Well, how do we know that? It's the fact that his name details, including that of his father, have been got right. So this implies that this was someone who was well known to the Christian community, a foundation member. And you see, it's the contrast between what I would call slow learners and rapid adapters, late developers and those who get it right away. Bartimaeus, unlike the disciples, has perceived Jesus and what he asks of people right away. And you see, this is where the counterfactual prospect comes into view. Jesus has, in his ministry in Galilee, has presented God's offer of a new way forward for his lost people, and that's been received, this ministry of signs and wonders, with great interest and enthusiasm at first. But opposition is rapidly hardened. So in a change of tactics, Jesus now moves to Jerusalem with God's full and final offer, building into it the possibility of rejection and crucifixion and resurrection. But, you see, supposing the disciples had taken a leaf out of the book of Bartimaeus, supposing that in Jerusalem Judas had declined to give the vital intelligence information to the authorities that made it so easy for them to arrest Jesus, and supposing the disciples had stuck by Jesus in a close solidarity, making it clear that they were going to stand by him no matter what happened, even if attempts were made to arrest him. And supposing in Jerusalem the crowd had also learned from Bartimaeus, those who had first given Jesus a ticker-tape reception, supposing their initial enthusiasm had not waned, they'd remained deeply interested in his teaching, and they made it very evident to the authorities their displeasure at any attempt to arrest him or silence him. Well, then the whole outcome of that week in Jerusalem might have been very different. A passion story might have become a very different story. Well, I guess we'll all be thinking now about whether we're rapid adapters or late developers. But the thing about Bartimaeus, that in a sense he presents us with the issue as we leave the church doors this morning, as to whether we'll have his boldness, his intestinal fortitude, and by that boldness be prepared to let others know about our faith. Because, you know, those of who are not timid or diffident, who are about their faith, don't keep it to themselves, present many opportunities to let other people know about the joy and the good news that's in them. Here we are, surrounded in a culture of indifference to religious claims. There have been powerful cultural forces working its way through our society for the last few hundred years, and we're the inheritors of this situation. We didn't make it. But if we learn from Bartimaeus, maybe opportunities to let other people know and to catalyse their faith and change the outcome for them. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.